It isn't very often that I have the opportunity to speak about witch doctors. But witch doctors are making their way into the world's headlines. Two witch doctors in Tanzania have been arrested after a woman with albinism, she was an albino, was hacked to death, police say. One of her legs and several fingers were removed in the attack. Now, albinos have suffered widespread persecution in Tanzania. And it's not really persecution, it's mutilation in Tanzania, because the witch doctors say that there are magic potions that can be made with albino body parts, and that the magic potions made with the albino body parts bring good luck. Now imagine that, you've got a witch doctor. It's, you know, this is the, it's kind of the standard religious mantra, not only in Africa, but in the Americas, saying that, you know, eating someone is going to bring you good luck. I mean, let's bring back Hannibal Lecter of Silence of the Lambs, I guess. Let's bring back cannibalism. Yes, indeed. You want good luck, you eat your neighbor. And if you want really good luck, you eat your neighbor if your neighbor is an albino. And it's not just every part. You want to go for the leg and the fingers. And a reason I'm mocking this story is because I want to mock religion. Hey, what difference really is it with the Roman Catholic Mass, where they hand off a piece of bread and say, this is the flesh of your Jesus Christ. Eat his flesh, be good for you. This is his body. Eat it. That's just stunningly stupid. Then they hand wine and pass it around and say, this is his blood. Drink it. Ah, it'll be good for you. Religions are just stupid. You know, in Islam, go kill, mutilate your enemy's flesh, let their blood flow. In fact, the Quran and Hadith speak of the blood on a jihadist. You know, if a jihadist goes off and they're killed, killing infidels, the blood of the infidel on the jihadist isn't supposed to be cleaned when they're buried, because the blood of the infidels that they have killed is supposed to be a sign of honor in front of Allah, so that Allah can recognize them as a great individual who should be given the multiple virgins. I mean, think of how stupid that is. I mean, is it any dumber for the witch doctor to say, if you eat albino body parts, that you're going to have good luck? Are the Qurans, Muhammad and Allah say that if you die with innocent people's blood covering your body, that Allah's going to recognize that's a sign of you being a really good dude and you're going to get multiple virgins in paradise? Or the Roman Catholic priest saying that they magically transformed a piece of bread and bottle of wine into flesh and blood, that if you eat, drink, that marvelous things are going to happen because of that miracle. I mean, what's dumber when you get down to it? Or is it just the fact that every religion is stupid and that they beguile people because people relinquish their responsibility for thinking? Which one is it? You know, you don't have to just pin it on the Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox Christians with their mass, which transforms ordinary bread and wine into the flesh and blood of their Jesus Christ. Well, it's no different with the Christian, the Protestant Christian communion. It's a grotesque perversion of Passover and unyeasted bread, one which renders the original purpose moot. That's just astonishing that people are so susceptible to that which is so obviously erroneous, which is so not just erroneous, but twisted. You know, the Catholic Mass, the witch doctor's menu, it's twisted, it's perverted, it's disgusting. In this particular case, the BBC's spokesperson in Dar es Salaam, the House of Reconciliation, Dar es Salaam, place I've spent considerable time to, almost died there, says that the witch doctors have to apply for a certificate from the Ministry of Health and Welfare to practice. You're a witch doctor. The Department of Welfare and Health is going to give you a license to practice. Ah, yes. Let's give you a certificate that says you can go off and mutilate albinos to make magic portions, and we're going to give you a certificate that says you're doing it under a under the blessing of our government. You know, I'm all for freedom of choice. Yeah, and I would make almost everything legal, with most things being inadvisable. I'm not so sure I would make cannibalism legal. That might be one step too far along the realm of religious freedom that I wouldn't go. You know, I'm universally opposed to religion, as is God. I still think, you know, people ought to have the opportunity to be stupid if they wish to. If you want to be religious, go ahead. I don't want you to promote it. I'm going to expose and condemn you when I have access to your propaganda, just as God did. But you want to be religious, go ahead. I would draw the line, though, on eating other people, of mutilating them so that you can eat them. Somewhere along the lines, that's probably a step too far. According to the Under the Sun, Under the Same Sun, which is a organization under the same sun, a prominent human rights organization, that the campaigns against the discrimination of people with albinism is not effective in Tanzania, and that albinos are still being mutilated. The story out of the United States, I think it's now about 2 weeks old. It just got buried in my news. But a 93-year-old woman in Texas was shot to death by a police officer. 93-year-old woman shot to death by a police officer. I mean, that's kind of like the stupidity. I mean, this is a more extreme version. But, you know, when you go through the lines and at an airport checkpoint because the government's not willing to profile Muslims when it comes to aviation terrorism. And so you are, rather than see the woman holding the Quran and a burqa go through without a second thought, a little old lady grandmother is, you know, that might weigh about as much as wet navel lint, is pulled aside and all but strip searched. Well, imagine a 93-year-old woman, and she was so menacing at 93, this frail old lady, that a police officer shot her to death. A man believed to be a relative of the woman called 911 and asked the police for help. He said, you know, we got a problem here. We got a woman is brandishing a firearm we need someone to come out. So the officer came in and the woman was handing the gun and he asked her to put the gun down, and she wouldn't put the gun down. No. doesn't say that she leveled the gun and pointed it at the officer. She just was holding the gun. 93-year-old lady, she's out of her mind. It reminds me of this whole brouhaha about Don Sterling. When you listen to John Sterling and everybody just having a conniption fit and said he needs to go, he's an old man. He's lost the ability to think. His mind has deteriorated. There's no connection anymore between the neurons in his brains and the words that come out of his mouth. God, by continuing to rant against him, we're abusing him. It's just like we have no understanding as to what happens when we get old. We deteriorate. It's the nature of things. This woman had no idea what she was doing. But rather than recognize that, the police officer leveled his firearm, shot her to death. When she wouldn't drop her gun, the officer shot her at least three times. She was hit twice by the officer. Of those three rounds that he shot, she died before even arriving at the hospital. She was probably dead before she hit the floor. We have not only turned America into a police state, but far too many of America's former military are becoming police officers, and they haven't made the transition. They were indoctrinated to think that killing was a good thing. They celebrated killing. They trained to kill. And now they're given a gun inside of the country, and they can't exercise proper judgment. Is it universal? Of course not. Is it prevalent? Absolutely. Speaking of what religion and politics does to a country, particularly when they're blended together, a young man, he's a Saudi Arabian. He's a blogger. He has been convicted for besmirching the reputation of the Saudi royal family and is not only going to be imprisoned for 10 years, but he's going to receive 1,000 lashes for insulting Islam. Imagine living in a place where if you tell the truth about Islam, you're going to die. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Imagine. This individual told the truth. Now, if you say anything that's accurate about Islam, you're going to insult Muhammad and Allah, the Quran and Hadith, the religion. The truth is insulting. And if you tell the truth about Muhammad and you reveal what is known about his life, you have to acknowledge that he was a rapist, that he was a pedophile, that he was incestuous, that he was a ruthless terrorist, that he was a mass murderer, that he was a slave trader, that he was a kidnapper, that he acknowledged that he was a liar, that he was a money grubber. If you tell the truth about Islam, you have to acknowledge that all of those things are irrefutable and true. If you tell the truth about the Quran, you have to acknowledge that it's among the worst books ever written, that it's a jumbled mess, that there is no chronology, there is no context, that the parts of it which verge on being sane were plagiarized, that it wasn't written in Arabic, it was written in Hebrew, that its principal claim that it confirms the Torah is an absolute lie. It contradicts the Torah in every possible way. If you tell the truth about these things, including Allah, where you say that Allah was modeled after Satan, that's the only informed and rational conclusion, and that he spends all of his time in hell tormenting all that don't submit to him. If you tell the truth about Islam, you're going to insult the religion. And for being educated, for knowing the truth, for having the courage to convey the truth, in Saudi Arabia, the consequence for conveying the truth in Saudi Arabia is 10 years in prison and 1,000 lashings. A person can't survive 1,000 lashings, by the way. It's impossible. Could you survive 30 lashings? Probably. Could you survive 30 lashings plus another 30 lashings in the same day? Maybe, but it's going to be really tight, really tough. Depends on the nature of the whip being used. But somewhere after about 60 to 90 or 100 lashes, your internal organs are going to be too badly bruised that they'll fail. And somewhere your skin will give way, be ripped off, exposing your internal organs. Somewhere along the way, internal bleeding and clotting will lead to stroke. Somewhere between 30 and 100 lashes, you're going to die. 1,000 lashes, it couldn't survive. Now, could you receive 30 lashings, have those heal, receive 30 more lashings, have those heal, and continue to do this month after month, year after year? Yeah, that's possible over a course of 3 years. But imagine, that's the penalty for telling the truth. In a kingdom that is run by religious thugs. What do you think, Glenn? Would you have the courage to tell the truth if you lived in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. I hope so. The thing is, there's a price to be paid. I look at these people. I think of these people who, when threatened with death if they don't roll over and, confess as they're told, it seems to me that's selling out your stance. So regardless of what your, it's Christians refusing to declare Caesar to be God or Jews being compelled to convert to Islam or whatever, it seems that if you have a stance to which you're committed, you sort of have to, in order to have integrity and stand your ground, you have to do that even unto death. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Yahweh is able to protect us from your fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, yet will we not?
Yeah, but what's interesting, of course, is that the example you gave, and we'll have to pick this up at the other side of the commercial, is of a someone who has been beguiled by a religious myth, saying that I'm going to cling to my religious myth rather than show allegiance to your religious myth. In the case of the Saudi blogger, he's not a religious zealot. He's just exposing one religious lie. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We are talking about the Saudi blogger who has been convicted in what is really not a justice system of insulting Islam in a kingdom that is essentially a personal fiefdom that is run entirely based upon Sharia law, which is the most revolting legal code imaginable. This is Islam being imposed in its entirety, exactly as it was lived by Muhammad, which means that women have no rights, and that the king is all powerful. And insulting Islam is a death sentence. Muhammad saw to it that anyone who spoke against him was assassinated. So the question is, would you stand up for that? And Glenn mentioned that, Jews and Christians are examples of people that clung to their faith and wouldn't acknowledge the Roman gods. What's interesting, Glenn, to say, is having spent the last 2 to 3 weeks studying the history of Rome, one of the things you find is that Christian persecution was actually fairly limited and fairly minor by comparison to the Roman persecution of other communities. They Romans were far more into persecuting Gauls and the and also the Germanic tribes, for example, than they were Christians. Christians were primarily persecuted because they were associated with Jews, and Jews were persecuted primarily because they were the one race in a tiny province that was willing to say, no, we aren't going to let you do this. You just aren't going to be petty thieves. You aren't going to be thugs here. We're not going to accept the treatment that you're imposing on us. And they went to war not once but twice with the Romans and almost beat them both times. And so the Jews are hated. The Jews were the most despised people in the history of the Roman Empire. And it's because of their unwillingness to sit idly by and be harassed by oppressive Romans. Some of it, you know, in fact, all of it, the Romans themselves provoked. But it really, there's kind of two things that strike me about all of this, Glenn. One of them is that cultures, whether it be the Empire of Rome or the Roman Catholic Church after it or now Saudi Arabia, they make a public spectacle of the pain that they impose on someone who dares besmirch them, who dares rebel against their oppression. So 1,000 lashings is so grotesquely painful that the next person who comes to know the truth is going to keep quiet. In Rome, anyone who stood up against Rome, that whole community was wiped out. They would rape the women, sell the children into slavery, confiscate the land, tyrannize them, and the leaders of the rebellion were crucified. And with a public display of excruciating pain, and with whole communities wiped out, Rome sent a message, and the message was, don't you even think about rebelling against us, no matter how barbaric and sadistic we may be. This is the consequence. And it tranquilizes most people. It causes most people to be afraid to stand up. You know, in today's world in the West, you know, you speak your mind and you say something that that those who are empowered don't like, you're publicly crucified. Most people say, you know, okay, that's not painful in the sense of 1,000 lashings or a crucifixion, but man, it's be publicly humiliated is an extraordinary experience. What they're doing is they're getting the vast preponderance of people to acquiesce to them, no matter how oppressive they may be, no matter how evil they may be, just to go along to keep from being one of those who is abused. It works.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, it's and then the other part of it I wanted about this is that it's not only do empowered individuals, empowered by religion, because look at the Roman Catholic Church. They invented the most excruciating torture devices in human history to publicly torture anyone who would speak against them, who would dare rise up against their malfeasance. For the same reason. Make people afraid to oppose them. The other part of it that I think is interesting, you look at about human history and human political and religious institutions, is that when the Jews and the Christians rebelled against Rome, God wasn't a player. He didn't have an affinity either way, because in Israel, it wasn't ordinary common folk that rebelled. It was the religious establishment. God hates the religious establishment in Israel. Hates Judaism with a passion. So he couldn't come to the aid of the religious Jews, that led the rebellion. Either one of them. And in the case of Christians being persecuted. Yeah, they were turned into torches, and they were eaten alive in the Colosseum as by animals. And but God didn't know yet. You know, he had the beast that is Rome on one side and the beast that is Christianity and the beast that is Judaism on the other. God didn't have a party in that disagreement.
Speaking of, governments behaving badly, the original reason I called today was to ask the burning question.
Mm-hmm.
How can anybody be such a loser as to miss a human target at 40 feet or less? And the cop that shot the 93-year-old lady only hit her twice. He thinks he spend some more time at the range. I mean, yeah. And these guys,
He was in her home. There is no room of a home. That an average little old lady she's living in her home or apartment. A big room has got to be 12 by 12. He's no more than 8 feet from her, first of all.
Right.
And second of all, now she probably, most 93-year-old, women are really frail. Somewhere along the way, they really get to be pretty frail. Still, We're dealing with
taking care of enough of them.
Right. You know, you walk into a room and there's a woman in the other side of the room, and rooms are typically furnished with the furniture on the outside of the room. You're not going to be more than about 8 to 10 feet from her, and at 8 to 10 feet, one of the three shots missed her.
Hmm.
Yep.
So and these guys always saying, an excuse now for killing people, and I was afraid. If you're that much of a wimp, don't be a cop. Well, I was afraid. I was so scared.
I was so scared of the widow old lady. And that really is the point, too, that somewhere along the line, if you're going to choose an occupation of being a cop, I can understand that if you go into a dark alley at night and you see three guys with AK-47s that are pointed at you, that you might have the initial reaction is, I think I better shoot first and ask questions later. I understand that.
Right.
But if you're of the mindset to walk into a home of a 93-year-old little old lady, and your mindset is, I'm so afraid of her, I need to shoot her right now, yeah, you probably ought not be a cop. You probably ought not be trusted with a gun.
My favorite one was they shot a little old lady in a wheelchair brandishing a hammer.
Yeah.
Kidding me.
You know, the one that was caught on film in either Arizona or New Mexico was where a lady was pulled over for a traffic violation for speeding. She had an infant and a teenager in the back seat of the car, and she was just taking them on an educational tour, and the cop became really belligerent towards her, and eldest son stood up to protect his mother from the belligerency of the cop, and so the cop drew his gun on the young man, who became scared. The mother sped away, and the cops bent down, knowing that there was a child in the back seat and a woman and an unarmed boy, and started firing shots into the back of the car.
This is
and the cop wasn't arrested. The woman and her son were arrested.
Yeah, and this is what kind of really actually gives me very little hope when these police chiefs and judges and nobody anywhere in the system will do the right thing. How can there be checks and balances when nobody is oriented toward truth? Nobody cares.
Well, I think it's the mentality of the drones. Where we've killed 4,000 people in the last 4 years with our drones, there is no trial. There's no indictment. There's no presentation of evidence that shows that this person has committed a crime. There is no due process. It's just that the president makes a decision that, yeah, you can go kill him. And, you know, if you kill other people around him, so be it. You can go kill him with a drone. And so what's really is the difference in that? And, oh, you go into Afghanistan, you're told, hey, the Taliban is your enemy. Well, the Taliban just happens to be ordinary Afghanis. So you just go around and you go kill those Afghanis. You can't distinguish between the Taliban and non-Taliban. They're just ordinary citizens. And just go kill them.
That was that phenomenon that went viral the other day where Obama's wife, Michelle, had held up a sign that says, you know, return our girls or sugar.
Yeah,
And somebody changed what it said to my husband has killed, you know, far more than 200 girls or something like that.
Oh, he's killed 4,000. Yeah, 4,000. None of them, not a single one of the people that he has killed, was ever accused of killing an American. He killed 4,000 Muslims. Now, I'm not a fan of Islam, but he killed 4,000 Muslims without due process, without trial, without any one of them attacking and killing an American. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We talked about the police officer ought not be a police officer if he's going to shoot at a little old woman at point-blank range. The Syrian jihadists associated with the Islamic Front. Now, if they call themselves the Islamic Front, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what their affinity is. Detonated 120,000 pounds of explosives just moments ago under a Syrian military base. 120,000 pounds of explosives. Now, you know, America wants to present this myth that the rebels in Syria are ordinary citizens who wanted to protest their grievances against a dictatorial regime, and they're freedom fighters, just ordinary folk that have been pushed into this because of the grievances of their government. Where does an ordinary citizen come up with 120,000 pounds of explosives? You should see the videos of it, and there's still pictures of it all over the internet right now. It looks like an atomic bomb went off in Syria. They dug a trench, the Islamic Front, which is a Boy Scout group, probably sponsored by the Baptist Church. Dug this trench, and then they set up cameras so they could videotape it. The trench was like almost 3,000 feet long, I think. I mean, but they built this trench underneath because the base is in a civilian area. 2,800 foot tunnel underneath the base, which is in a civilian area. You can see all of the housing and moss and all that sort of thing surrounding it. And then detonated it with their cameras rolling. 120,000 pounds of explosives. Yes, indeed. We as America that are supplying the firepower to the jihadists operating as the Islamic Front killed a lot of people today. We should be so proud of ourselves. Meanwhile, you've got this man in Saudi Arabia who is going to receive 1,000 lashes for doing what we should be doing in America, which is to tell the truth about the connection between Islam and terrorism, between the just expose the fact that Islam is false. I mean, who's compassionate? Who's loving? The person who has done their research and who has been able to determine with absolute certainty that Islam destroys everything that it touches. That every Muslim has effectively destroyed their own soul and can prove it using the Islamic scriptures. Is that person hateful for besmirching Islam? Or are they the compassionate individual who is providing a warning to Muslims that don't squander your soul? don't go off and kill others in the name of this religion. It isn't true. It's false. Well, that's the case in Saudi Arabia. For trying to do the right thing and to save people from Islam, you receive 1,000 lashings. And the question is, how many people in this world would have the courage to do the right thing under those circumstances? And I'm telling you, I don't have that courage. I mean, before I was willing to engage and expose and condemn Islam, I cut a deal with the boss. I told God I was willing to do it, but under certain terms and conditions. And one of those terms and conditions is that he would protect my home and family. I don't have any courage. Yeah, I've received thousands of death threats, but I've never had to duck once. Never been hit once. Would I have done it if I knew I was making myself and my family susceptible to receiving a 1,000 lashings and slow, torturous death? Probably not. I mean, honestly, probably not. You know, I think that to be willing to sacrifice your life, knowing that your chances of success are minuscule, and you know, when you're exposing Islam, a religion that works the media with precision, plays governments as fools, your likelihood of success in any reasonable way is pretty small. You know, you can't reason with religious individuals. Would you be willing to risk your life to have a de minimis effect? Well, religious people are. That's why Christians marched into the Colosseum. It's why Muslims are suicide bombers. But I was not a religious individual. Religions inspire people to do insane things. But do sane people, are they willing to do them?